Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Good evening, Brother Thurman. I'm feeling great. Good to be on with you tonight. And I'm interested and looking forward to our discussion on our goal is sovereignty. What does this mean?
Yes, very necessary subject. And we're going to get right into that, family, and make sure that pass the word to your family and friends. If you don't have the phone number right there in front of you, you can reach us by telephone. You can call in at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. And when you're ready with your question or comment, just press 1, and that will put you in the queue to be on the program. And we will be getting to the callers in a few minutes. And also, you can reach us by internet radio. And you can go to the Us Lifting Us webpage, uslifting.us.com, uslifting.us.com, and scroll down to where it says Ulu Radio, and you click on Ulu Radio, and you scroll down to where it says Listen Live, and you click on that, and that will take you by internet to this call. And so, Brother Kimbizi, let's move forward with subject tonight. Our goal is sovereignty, and what does this mean? So, Brother Kimbizi, to get us started, tell us, what is sovereignty?
Thank you, Brother Thurman. Sovereignty is defined as supreme power or authority. Some of the synonyms that go along with that are jurisdiction, power, ascendancy, the authority of a state to govern itself, national sovereignty, or another set of synonyms that go with that, autonomy, self-government, self-rule, a self-governing state. It is our understanding that sovereignty only accrues or applies to a nation or state, not an individual. Power at this magnitude can only be wielded by a large group, a large unified group. It is control of a defined national space with clearly delineated borders or boundaries and the ability to defend and protect that national space, its citizens, and its resources from theft, damage, or destruction from within and or without. So that's our definition for sovereignty. And it's interesting, if we think and look at the history of our movement since the 60s, particularly beginning with the civil rights movement in the 60s, we know we went from a goal of integration, and then on June 16th, 1966, on the Meredith March Against Fear, Brother Stokely Carmichael uttered the cry, "What do we want? Black power." And so we went from an understanding of our movement for freedom, from integration to black power, and now where we are in 2019 is we have gained the clarity that what we're really talking about is sovereignty for African descended people. First, sovereignty for the African continent, and then once that is established, that then accrues to African descended people no matter where they are on the planet. Let me pause there. That there may be something that I need to clarify, Brother Thurman.
Thank you so much, Brother Kimbizi, giving us that definition. And can you give us some broader examples of how that would work for us?
Absolutely. Now, when we're talking about African sovereignty or sovereignty for African people at this level, it is interesting to note that only the countries that possess nuclear weapon capability are actually sovereign in the world. In other words, if you don't have nuclear weapons and nuclear capability, then those countries that do have that power can overrun you and impose their will on you. So in looking at, well, you know, who has this capability right now? United States, Russia, United Kingdom or England, France, China, India, Pakistan, North Korea, and Israel. So, and it's important to understand that when a country wants to do something, they determine that a particular course of action is in their interest. The only way that they can carry that out is if no one can oppose them or stop them from doing what they want to do. That's why those countries that have this nuclear weapon capacity then exercise sovereignty and they impose their will on everybody else. Now, when we in Us Lifting Us and our work to build economic power, what we recognize is that in order to have a flourishing economy that is controlled by African descended people and benefits us, that we have to have the capacity to protect this economy and to put in place the institutions and systems that benefit our folk. So we want to begin to think about how do we get to a place of exercising power on this scale. And so we recognize that that if one of the things this helps us to understand is why the United States in and Trump were making all those noises trying to bully North Korea. And then ultimately why they had to back off and give North Korea space. Because North Korea is in a position to say, you think what you think, we are going to behave and do the things that's in our best interest. Conversely, we recognize that when Muammar Gaddafi was talking about setting up an African currency, because he didn't have that level of power, then the United States was able to go in there, foment disruption, and ultimately assassinate him and bring him down. So we understand that when we're really talking about exercising economic and political self-determination, we've got to be talking about creating space that we control so that we can live out the kind of life that we have determined is best for our people. So what we want to plant firmly in the minds of those of us that are struggling towards liberation, that the ultimate goal is sovereignty. In other words, we're not interested in integration. We recognize that Black Power was an important learning step, but because Black Power didn't tie itself to a landmass, that was the piece that's missing. African sovereignty points to control of the African continent and those countries and places where African descended people are in large populations and can exercise this kind of control over their space and their resources. But we have to be perfectly clear first at the mental level that our goal is sovereignty. That is the goal. Now, we had a conversation a couple of nights ago, and someone said, yeah, well, if you're talking about that kind of power, then several things have to happen in order for that to develop. A, you got to control your educational system so you can raise your children to understand what you're talking about. You also have to be able to defend yourself. You have to be able to put in positions of influence people who think the same way. And so it becomes very clear that once we accept that our goal is sovereignty, then we have some work to do. And that's what we want to begin to have a conversation amongst ourselves, why this goal of sovereignty is so important. I'll pause there, Brother Thurman, for questions and comments.
Yes. Thank you so much for that very vital interesting information. Family members, we welcome you to participate in the conversation. The telephone number is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you're ready to speak with your question or comment. And as you had stressed, Brother, that we've got to gain economic and political power, and we've got to bring greater clarity to our people about that subject and about this sovereignty. Before we're going to take a music break. Would you like to add any other thing before we take this music break? Any other comments?
Well, just to add that. When we're talking about power at any level, what we're talking about is the ability to translate our thoughts and ideas into concrete action. In other words, to move from the realm of ideas to being able to cause things to happen on the sidewalks where we live. So we've got to get comfortable working with and understanding power, both power as individual persons, but more importantly, understanding the need to exercise power as a collective, as a group, as a nation. And in order to exercise power in a group context, we have to be on the same page in terms of what is it that we want to accomplish. And that's why tonight's conversation around our goal is sovereignty. We want to organize our energy and resources in such a way that we build power, and that power enables us to control the spaces where we live. Once we control the spaces where we live, then we are in a position to put forward the institutions, the values, the ethos of the kind of communities that we think our people deserve and that our people want.
Okay. All right, family, we're going to take a musical break, and ask you once again to participate in the conversation. The telephone number is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. Press 1 when you're ready to speak with your question or comment. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. And when we come back, Brother Kim Beazley, we continue this conversation, and you can like for you to get deeper into how the subject of sovereignty in our minds, how we think, how does that play out, and give us some clarity on that. We will be right back in a very few minutes. Family, welcome back to the Dad to Win call. We're going to continue our conversation with Brother Kim Beazley about sovereignty. Brother Kim Beazley, would you give us some information, some clarity on sovereignty in our mind?
Certainly, Brother Thurman. I do see a call from 4508. Can we take that before we talk more about the sovereign psyche mind?
Yes, certainly will. All right, caller with the last four numbers, 5080. Thank you so much. Welcome to the call, and please give us your name and number and where you're calling from.
Hey, brothers, this is Akima calling from East Point, Georgia.
Welcome. Good.
Obviously, this is an important topic and discussion. What's the saying that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, huh?
Yeah.
Is that the way that old saying go?
That's the way that I've heard it.
Yeah. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. In other words, it's really important that you know where you're going to go. Where it is that you intend to go, and if that first step is not to be wasted, it should be in the direction of where it is that you want to end up after that 1,000 step or 1,000 miles, whatever. And I appreciate the discussion because I agree that the direction that we must go is towards self-determination. Having authority or dominion or sovereignty. And it's really kind of hinted to in our name, Us Lifting Us, because we realize that it's going to be us that uplifts us or lifts us, and that we're certainly not wanting to uplift us for the benefit of another people or another nation. So I appreciate the conversation, and I do think that it's important that we focus on where we are right now and the need to be clear in terms of the direction, as you've pointed out, and also be clear that the work that we have to do is to build that aspect of sovereignty, or that plank, or that bridge, portion of the bridge that would take us to that ultimate goal that can be built tomorrow, or that can be built next week, or that could be built next month or next year. Certainly we're not going to leap from where we are now to that sovereign condition. And so it demands that we focus on building the tools, the mindset, the psyche, the awareness, and the institutions that would lead us progressively to that point. I just use an analogy. If we're on one side of a river and the desire is to get to the other side of the river, we can see the other side. It's not so far. But for various reasons, we can't go into the water. You know, maybe it's crocodile infested. It's a rapids with rocks and wherever else. And so the necessity becomes apparent to some of us is that we've got to build a bridge and to the other side. Now, obviously, the job of building the bridge is not the same as taking care of the medical needs or taking care of the food needs or taking care of the educational needs of the people who are assembled on one side. But the job of building the bridge is very specific because we can't get to sovereignty, which is on the other side, unless some few of us focus on building the bridge, building and understanding and becoming efficient and proficient in the technology of building that bridge to that sovereign destination that we seek. So I just wanted to chime in and thank you for the topic.
Thank you so much, Baba.
Thank you, Brother Baba Hekima. You always bring clarity to our conversations, and you focus us exactly where the attention needs to be. And I want to make our listening audience aware of a book written by a professor in, I think he's in Maryland. His name is Professor Ezra Aharon. We've mentioned him on Dare to Win previously. And the particular book that I want to make us aware of is called Sovereign Psyche. The reason that this work is so exciting to me is that it builds on African genius, African epistemology, in that what he is saying is that once the mind has a clear goal established, then it can go about moving the necessary resources into place to achieve a particular goal. So to your point, Baba Hekima, yes, we're on one side of the river looking to get to the other side. By way of metaphor, let's think in terms of many of us have seen the movie Hidden Figures. And the thing that's exciting to me about that is it captures a period in American history where the decision was made to put a man on the moon in 10 years or less. If you think about what John Kennedy was saying in 1961 when he says America would put a man on the moon in a decade, at the time that he said that, the computer technology wasn't in place. the metallurgy hadn't been developed to build a booster and a rocket. All of those things had to be figured out. All of that math and science had to be worked out. But once the goal was set, then the resources could be marshaled and put to place. The aim and the trajectory was set, and then in the course of time, it actually materialized and was realized. So our purpose in tonight's conversation is to set the goal. And I mentioned the African genius because what Ezra Ahron in his book Sovereign Psyche says that first, African-descended people must develop a mind and see ourselves as sovereign actors. In other words, if we don't see ourselves as sovereign beings, we will never create the necessary tools, institutions, systems, whatever, to actually realize what it is to live as sovereign women and men. And there's a part in the introduction to that work that just speaks volumes to where I think we are in this historical moment. And the title of that particular chapter is Chattel Freedom versus Self-Authentic Freedom. Chattel Freedom versus Self-Authentic Freedom. And he says this: chattel refers to being legal, personal, and even disposable property, like old shoes or a rusty bucket. Chattel slavery gave whites unchallengeable constitutional powers over the life, fortune, and liberty of Africans. In the process, Africans were reduced to objects that could be bought, sold, traded, inherited, abused, branded, bred, exploited, or killed. As chattel property, African laborers were inextricably latched to an international system of trade and economics that ultimately birthed modern capitalism. So the point that he's trying to get us to understand is that while we are no longer bound and fettered, in other words, that the chains and the cuffs have been taken off of our hands and our feet, we in many ways are still thinking and behaving as chattel beings. We have the mobility of our bodies, but our minds are still fettered with the behaviors of what it is when you see yourself as chattel and not as self-authenticating sovereign actors. So I wanted to raise that point. Now, the other thing that I think is important for our conversation tonight, he says, what's ongoingly unique about chattel freedom of Black America is how Euro-Americans have managed since 1865 to maintain control through a drip-drip process whereby freedom has been dispensed drip by drip by drip. So I think, Baba Hekima, and to our listening audience, when we talk about building Us Lifting Us as a family-centered, group-owned cooperative, we have to embrace that mindset and see ourselves building an alternative economy. When we understand that the system that we are immersed in, this idea of capitalism, is based upon our being chattel. So these notions of us somehow becoming free in the midst or in the middle of a capitalist system is saying somehow that we can be free and be chattel at the same time. The way that we begin to exercise the sovereign psyche and begin to embrace sovereignty as our goal is the very first step, as you pointed out, Baba Hekima, is to build alternative economic structures that we control. So when we are talking to our listeners every Thursday about this family-centered cooperative economic model, this is the first step, or this is a step, in moving out of behaving as chattel and beginning to behave as sovereign women and men. I'll pause and hear comments and questions, Brother Thurman.
Yes. Family members, you can call us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you've got your questions or comments. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. And if you got questions or comments, please give us a call. Right, family members, we want to continue on with the call. And Brother Kambizi, before we took that music break, you were talking about building and building businesses. Give us more about taking control of the spaces where we're building black institutions and businesses.
Well, thank you, Brother Thurman. As we were saying before the break, and to the point that Brother Ezra Aharon is making, is that as we develop this mental image and this mental picture of ourselves as sovereign women and men, that then gives us, or it unleashes this tremendous genius that we have, and we begin to figure out step by step by step the things that we have to do to build to where we are fully exercising our power in a collective, in a nation political and economic entity. So to back to the metaphor about America talking about putting a man on the moon even before they had developed the rocket technology, the computer technology, understanding of the mathematics. Before any of that had been developed, they set that goal. And that's the point that I wanted to get to about the African genius. There's a phrase that goes something like, anything the mind can conceive and the heart believes it will achieve. What we are suggesting is that if we as a collective establish sovereignty as our goal, and we internalize that, we believe that, we imbue it with passion and with emotional fervor, then from that will come all of the necessary steps to achieve that goal. If we don't have that as a goal, then we're just going to kind of flounder and go from detour to detour and spin our wheels for another 50 years only to find ourselves in a very similar place to where we are today. So once we establish that sovereignty is the goal, then us lifting us becomes one of those institutions or systems or mechanisms that helps us to achieve that goal. So Aharon is arguing that first sovereignty must be established in our minds, and then from that we will see our way to building the necessary institutions to make that a concrete reality that our children can walk in and out of and be proud of. So our challenge as we think about building this alternative economy, starting with a family-centered, group-owned cooperative, what we call ULU, if we can begin to understand that that is a step that gets us out of a chattel mindset or a chattel way of seeing ourselves. In other words, the reason that the reparations issue has come up again and is so critically and vitally important to our community is because in this country, we as a people have never broke free from being viewed as property. That's why black lives don't matter, because we're property. We're like an old pair of shoes that can be discarded when a new style comes out. And that's what we are wrestling with when that's why, like Randall Robinson wrote in his book, The Debt, the first question that has to be answered is, was chattel slavery a crime against humanity? We have to make the argument that we are human. But we cannot rely on those who dehumanized us to hold the answer to that question. African descended people must answer that question for ourselves first. We have to declare that we are human and that we are sovereign. And then we have to behave that way, build the power to protect ourselves, and then whenever other people will agree and will have to accept that definition that we have imposed. We cannot expect others to say, oh yeah, what we did was wrong, and we got to do some repair. It would be nice, but in all likelihood, that's not going to happen. So therefore, we have to take responsibility for declaring our own humanity and establishing our own sovereignty, and us lifting us, building cooperative enterprises is one of the steps that we take in order to reach that objective. Does that make sense, Brother Thurman?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And family members, please be taking note of everything that's been said tonight, and you can reach us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, press 1 with your question or comment. And yes, Brother Kimbizi, there's so much that Us Lifting Us has that will position us to gain and to take control economically and politically and to build power. Give us some more about Us Lifting Us and the economy that it offers for us.
Yes, I was just curious. We were talking offline. Was there a point from Brother Baruti's writing that you wanted to insert before I say anything further about ULU and the cooperative mechanism?
We've got a caller. Let's reach out to this caller. Caller with the last four numbers, 7204. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from, and welcome to the call.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome.
Oh, okay. This is Deborah. I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm really enlightened by this conversation. We do have to start having a sovereign attitude, and I think at first it starts in everybody's mind, but I think what we also need to concentrate on, what I think a lot of people don't realize is why, what is causing they need to recognize or bring out what's causing people not to be sovereign. Okay, and I think it needs to be called out, and so that people can start knowing, because a lot of people are not recognizing it. They don't see it. Okay, and thank you very much. Y'all have a good evening. Thank you.
Yes, and Sister Deborah, before you go, give us one or two things that you think may be causing us not to.
European ideas. just basically European thought.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We have a lot of individualism going on, and we need to start thinking as a group minded people.
Yes.
Regardless of where we're coming from.
Yes.
Regardless of where we come from. We got a lot of people, you know, they'll say, well, I'm not African, I'm not this, I'm not that. No, okay, it don't matter. You know, we have one enemy.
Yes.
And this is what we got to do. That's all I'm saying.
Good word, good word. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for being a loyal supporter of Us Lifting Us.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, Brother Thurman, Sister Deborah hit on two critical concepts. One, the first thing she said was European ideas. I mean, she just said that out just like, you know, in passing, you know, European ideas.
Yes.
Dr. Carter G. Woodson said, I think it was in 1933 in his book, Miseducation of the Negro, when you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions.
Yes.
And so precisely, because we have been educated in those European American controlled schools, elementary, high school, college, we tend to have a repertoire of these European ideas. And so that gets in the way of us having sovereign ideas as authentic African-descended women and men. And then the second thing that she said was individualism. And we really have to be very clear about that as a value that permeates American culture, this idea of rugged individualism. It's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. I mean, no individual got here by themselves. I mean, you know, they had a mother and a father. And all of us are part of an extended family and a larger and wider community. So this idea of individualism is just one of those false notions that has been promulgated, if you will, such that people actually think that they can behave independent or disregarding the needs and the things of those who live around them. So the African culture taught us that because we are, therefore I am, and because I am, therefore we are. So we have that dialectical understanding about the community and the individual and the reciprocal relationship that they share together. And to Deborah's point, we have, as a community, have begun to lose, I think we've lost sight of that. People are making decisions, you know, what's the saying, you know, get all you can all you get, then sit on the can. So it's all about me, myself, and I. And we've divorced ourselves or disconnected ourselves from our community, and we've stopped asking the question, is this behavior that I'm about to participate in, how does it affect my community? How does it affect my family? What are the repercussions that will happen if I go down this particular street? That used to be the way we thought. And we're going to have to get back to that, because that value is the value that we call community. And it's the basis of Ujamaa, which is familyhood. So when we talk about Ulu and building this family-centered cooperative, we are talking about bringing back to the center of our people this idea of the importance of the group and the necessity for the group or the community to be healthy and whole and well if the members of the community are to flourish and thrive individually. So I'm grateful that Sister Deborah called in to make that comment, because it helps us to understand how important it is to build Us Lifting Us. We have to begin to re-engender those African values back into the center of our living. So this idea of cooperation, the idea of community, the idea of spirit being the source of wisdom and guidance, this extended family. Go ahead, Brother Thurman.
Yes, we've got a couple of people that want to call in and with some questions or comments. The last four numbers are 3440. Please give us your question or comment, and give us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, greetings, brothers. This is Brother Shabaka calling from Baltimore, Maryland. You have a very good show coming on today, and I'd like to piggyback a little bit on what Sister Deborah said from Richmond, and just to try to give our listening audience, you know, some awareness of these, what I might call the difficulties in of things facing us. Language. We speak the English language. The linguish language is not our language, our historical language. It's a language that was forced upon us to be able to communicate with the oppressor. Now, we might take it for granted, but I recall some years ago when I was visiting and used to travel throughout East Africa, and was picking up words in Swahili. And even picking up those words gave me a mindset as to how people communicated and operated within their culture. And if I'm speaking English, and I know that it's difficult to tell people to go out and speak a different language, but I'm only trying to point out the significance of the language, which is transmit the culture of a people. And right now, the language is from the United Kingdom or UK or England or whatever, a mixture of German, French, and what have you. All right, which is basically European. Even using certain words to try to explain, you know, what we want, how we feel, can sometimes be difficult. All right, and I'm saying it's difficult because we feel, but we do not have the words, because we're using a language that makes it extremely difficult for us to be able to communicate how we feel. The same way when I was trying to years ago. Communicating Key Swahili, and then had a sense of the cultural significance and the impact of that language on how people communicated with each other. So I don't want to take it for granted when we talk about individualism and all those other kinds of things. It's very much embedded in the language that we're speaking. The difficulties become is when we can make sure that when we talk about African values, all right, we have to have maybe even the invention of certain words to characterize and explain and address what we mean that might not necessarily be characterized by the language, the English language, or any of this other manifestation. But I just wanted to point that in, and I say this is the difficulty that we expect because we speak English. And sometimes they might not be able to communicate what we want as an African expression. And so we shouldn't feel frustrated at that. It should be a challenge for us to be able to eventually communicate that makes it very whole for our people to understand. That's all I had, brothers, but you have a very good program. Thanks for listening to my comments.
Thank you so much, Brother Shabaka.
Thank you, Brother Shabaka. That was a very powerful comment. I'm reminded of what Frantz Fanon says, you know, when you take on a language, you take on a worldview. And the colonizers and the enslavers understood that very well, which is why there was a deliberate attempt to make sure that we did not continue to communicate in our own tongues as Africans were forced to operate on the soil of North America. So there was a deliberate destruction of our ability to communicate in African languages, which was not an accident. So, yes, now we find ourselves trying to communicate very important and profound ideas and concepts and somehow pigeonhole them into these English words that often are not adequate to convey the full meaning and feeling of what we're saying to each other. It goes back again to what Dr. Carver said, you know, when you control a man's thinking, a man or a woman's thinking, you don't have to worry about their behavior. Well, one of the ways that you can almost guarantee that you can control that thinking is by destroying their language and forcing them to speak your language. So you're right. That's part of the work that we certainly are confronted by as we think about behaving as sovereign women and men. Let me just say that as time is winding down, let me give a couple of the mechanics to participating and becoming a part of Us Lifting Us. There's a $50 annual membership fee. $50 per year is the membership fee. That allows us to take care of administrative costs and other things. And after the first year, that $50 is applied towards your equity account. We encourage people, as they are able, to also purchase a co-op unit for $1,000. I hope that doesn't strike us as being a large sum of money, although it is significant. And many of us are not sitting where we have thousands of dollars at our fingertips that we can dispose of that readily. But there are quite a few that do have that. So we have various kinds of plans that enable all of us to get to the place where each of us can purchase a co-op unit for $1,000. Now, this is where sovereign thinking comes into play. We need the $1,000 because that provides the pool of money that enables us to open up more cooperatives. In other words, we are able to launch businesses as we collect the $1,000 from those that see the vision and say, yes, I want to be a part of this. I want to build this. They've heard the call from Marcus Garvey, up ye mighty race, accomplish what you will, and they're ready to join with their like-minded sisters and brothers in this global effort. So the $1,000 is our way of pooling our money to build the institutions that we need. We're not asking anyone to liberate us. We're not asking anyone to free us. We're not asking anyone to do anything. We have made the decision that this is a process of us lifting us. We recognize that there's $1.3 trillion flowing through black hands on an annual basis in the United States. That's more than enough to build the institutions that we need. If we can come to a decision that we're going to pool our money and build alternative economies and economic businesses that we control, own, and operate. So that's where the sovereign psyche piece comes in. Make no mistake, the dollars in our purses and in our wallets, they represent congealed energy. They represent a consciousness. They are on a mission to return to the images of the men who are on those bills. And that's why they come into our community and go out just as fast as they come in. So we have to make a deliberate and a concerted effort to redirect that money in such a way that it benefits us before it leaves our community for good. So a $50 annual membership fee that gets a court, that gets counted to each person's equity account after the second year. And then when you are able to purchase a co-op unit for $1,000, we invite our listeners to go to our website, usliftingus.com. That's USLIFTINGUS.com. Check out our website. Read about us. Look at what we're proposing. Become thoroughly familiar with the plan. And if this is something that resonates with your spirit, that makes sense to you, then by all means, click the Join tab. We'll send you documents to help you further understand what it is and how this will all come together. We will vet you to make sure you're an African descended person. And then we'll welcome you to the family, and we'll get busy together building us, lifting us. Let me pause there. Brother Thurman, what do you want to say?
Yes, Brother Kimbizi, thank you so much. And we could go on for another hour or more, and we could get into addressing, you know, as Sister Deborah said, what is causing us not to. And we'll get to that on another call. And also I want to, the family members, with regard to becoming a member of Us Living Us, we do have some options that in terms of towards purchasing a unit, and among them is that we have what's called the Power of 100, and there are members that are contributing as little as $35 a month, $50 a month, or $100 a month towards purchasing that one unit of $1,000 for those that would not buy it all in one movement. And we thank you so much for being on the call. Where the time is running out, and thank you, Brother Kimbizi, for bringing forth this message, which is very, very necessary. And the sovereign psyche, as you talked about, that is the mindset that we must be in order to win and defeat the war that's being waged on us. And I'd like to just say that one of our Us Lifting Us loyal members, Brother DJ, this is on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, he wrote, "Are we going to continue to go down the insured road of destruction, or are we going to take control of the economics of our community and change our relationship between blacks and whites in the world? That is the only way our survival will be insured. Our survival will be insured." And so we're given the choice. Are we going to continue to be this insured destruction, or are we going to take control and of our survival and take control so that our survival will be insured instead of our destruction being insured? We thank you so much for being on the call. Thank you so much, Brother Baba Kimbizi, Baba Hakima, Sister Deborah, Brother Shabaka, and everybody else that's on the call. And we're here every Thursday. We'll be back next Thursday, and look forward to having you with us. And also, if you need to contact Ulu, you can reach us at the home office at 404-592-2780, 404-592-2780, and you can email us at info@usliftingus.com, info@usliftingus.com.